Well, I surely would appreciate your prayer. I'd like to draw our attention tonight to the thought of the will of God. Seems like that in our world today that there is few people that take in consideration the will of God. So I'd like to look at it a little bit tonight. So I'd like to start with the 21st chapter of Matthew. Maybe that's not the one I want. That's it. 21 and 28. Jesus says, "But what think ye? Certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not. I will not.'" Well, I don't know about you, and I don't know what the age of that son was, but I think I would have probably reacted right there. Like, excuse me. But whatever the situation is, this son felt fairly free to say that. Dad comes and says, "Son, I want you to do something for me. This is what you're supposed to do. I ain't doing it." That was the answer. I ain't doing it. He comes to the second son and says, "Son, I want you to work in my vineyard. Got you covered, Dad. Don't worry about it. Got you covered, Dad. You know, I'm a good son. You say to do something, well, I'm right there. My mind's in it. My heart's in it. Isn't that what he's? I mean, yes. I'll do it. I'll do it. No problem here. You're dad. I'm son. You're father. I'm gonna do it." The first one says after that, and you'll have to give me a lot of liberty here, but I think about these things this way. He goes off and says, "I've had enough of this vineyard. I don't like vineyard work. I mean, my buddy's going fishing." Whatever the excuse, whatever the idea is that, "Father, what you got in mind is not what I got in mind." But somewhere along the line, it seems to me that something kicks in there that says, "He's been awful good to me. This is Father. My feet's been under His table a lot of times. He soothes the knots on my head. He's helped me out of a lot of places. This is Father." And somewhere in the process and the battle of the mind, he says, "No, I can't do that to him. Just care too much about him." Or maybe that's the way I perceive it, but something changed the mind from "no, I'm not." No, there was no ambiguity in his answer. He didn't even say, "If it works out, I'll be there." Or, no excuse. Or, no, I'm not going to do it. To, "I got to do it. Yes, I'll do it." So he repents and he goes, does it. And the second one, that was so easy to say, "Got you covered. Free. Hey, whatever you want. I got it. I'm there." He didn't do it. So Jesus then says, he starts off by saying, "What think you? What do you think about this situation? You're in a situation. Which one are you? Which one are you? Well, I hope there's a category that says yes and doesn't. I hope there is one like that, but he didn't say there was three sons. He said there was two. And in the idea of this, one of them is rank sinner. That's what he's talking about. One of them is obviously not interested in the will of God. I'm not going to do it. The other one is hypocrite. The other one is show. The other one is pretense. You know, the Lord wants us to do His will. And sometimes we think about doing the Lord's will as this notion that I get a direct command from the Lord. Boom, sky opens. Marty, want you to go somewhere. Yes, Lord. Then I don't do that. Then I have not done the will of the Lord. You know, the will of the Lord is so much different than that. You know, you got the idea of Jonah. Jonah was told, the Lord says, I want you to go down to Nineveh. Oh, I don't want to go down to Nineveh. Last thing I can do is go to Nineveh. I'm going to run. I'm going to do it. And we got on our mind that he didn't do the will of the Lord. Well, he didn't do the will of the Lord. But that's not what the Lord's really interested in you and I today. I mean, that's a part. The Lord wants to be able to have us sensitive enough and us in the place that He speaks specifically to us in our lives, and we're to obey those impressions and those things that the Lord does. But it's so much more than that. I've got sons. I know what it's like to want something out of them. And listen, I'm not saying it in any way other than that I was a son too. And my dad had two sons. So I was one of those sons. But you know, as I look at it, there's something so much more than for me to say, son, I want you to do this and be, because I'm bigger or I'm, you know, in a place of authority, that he says, well, I better do it or I'll be cut off of something. Or something will do that. You know, that's not really what I'm after. I really would like to have a place there of respect and honor and love between us, that if my son realized that there was something that was beneficial to it, or there was something that I wanted or desired, that would be what they would want and desire to do. This is really close even to the idea of a marriage relationship. You know, I had somebody tell me one time, said, been married for a long time, I divorced him, but I made a vow I wouldn't. And I'm like, what kind of vow did you take? I mean, honestly, I ain't going to break my vow. I vowed that I would be married. I don't want a vow. I was thinking, well, what kind of vow did you make? Because the vow that I made said that I'd love, honor, and cherish my wife till death do us part. So I break the vow if I don't love, honor, and cherish her. But not if I sit and say, I'm so sick of this marriage, I can't stand it, but I told the Lord I'd stay with Him, so I'm going to stay with Him. You already broke the vow. You know, God wants more out of us doing His will than just having to obey something that we don't have a heart in doing. You know, what He wants us to really do is obey His will, is to have a portion in it. A love for it. A desire for it. He wants us to be more than a son that would say, yeah, I'll do it. And find some other reason not to do it. Or to have a hypocrisy. Listen, I'm about being real. About getting right down to it. And this is just the truth. There's a situation right here with two sons. That the one that was the religious, the one that was the obedient, the one that was supposed to be where he was at, was in a lot worse shape than the one that said no. There is a place in religious, folks. There's a place in religion that you can be worse off than a rank sinner. That's true. There is a place that makes us worse off because we're there. Or we're religious. Or we've got ourselves in a certain place that I'm okay. Or whatever it is. Or God understands those kind of things. There are things that the Lord is requiring of us. And it isn't in the externals of things. It's in a heart obedience to God. So it's more than just an idea that I haven't disobeyed the Lord telling me to go to town or to do this or these things that we want to do. We get so wrapped up sometimes in emotions that everything is, we just live off the emotion, the way I feel about things. This is a lot more than just the way you feel about things. One of the commentator writers said that a man should be as vigorous as a panther, swift as an eagle, fleet as a deer, and strong as a lion to do God's will. In other words, think of the idea of this. That we actually are in a place to where I hate what God hates. So to do God's will is partly to hate what He hates. To love what He loves. To embrace what He embraces. And to disregard things that He disregards. To live in such a way with God of doing His will in my life. God, it's not God's will that any should perish. Is it my will that any would perish? Do I perform myself in the functions and around people in a way to give them the best opportunity and chance to be saved? What's my will concerning it? Can I dismiss people? Does God dismiss people? Am I doing God's will when I dismiss people? If God don't dismiss, and it's not His will that any perish, then how dare I have that opinion? I shouldn't have it. I can be also religious. I can do all the things that is in the normal order of religion. I can go to service. Listen, I want to understand this. That some of these things are very vital to our Christianity within the confines of doing God's will, but it isn't necessarily doing God's will. You say, well, you got to pray. I've had messages on prayer, heard about prayer, know the value of prayer. I know God answers prayer. I know it's valuable to be in contact with God. Not everybody that prays and prays a lot is praying right. And not everybody that prays all the time has the right heart towards God. There was a man, two men that went up to the temple to pray. And one of them was very given to prayer. I mean, he prayed a lot. He said he did. Hey, I know that having a giving heart is a very important part of serving God. But this guy gave alms a plenty. He gave his tithes. He gave his alms. He prayed. He fasted and prayed. He done the things of religion. He was noted for that. And he was a long ways away from doing the will of God. We say, well, I go to church, I do those things. Listen, all of those are important functions. But you can do all of those things. It's still miss doing the will of God. There's a scripture I want to look at in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, wait a minute. You know, this idea of saying it can be wrapped up and narrowed down to say, well, you can say anything. And surely that's what they're talking about. They that say, Lord, Lord, I can say, Lord, anybody can say, Lord, Lord, and it means nothing. But this has a much deeper meaning for them. They weren't just saying somebody that said it. They were saying somebody that said it and had a reason to say it. They said it because they believed it. They believed that He was Lord. Lord, He was Lord of creation. He's creator of the world. He's God Almighty. This idea that they were saying Lord, Lord just didn't mean that they were saying something off the top of their head. He's making a point here to this. That there's an idea here somewhere in our lives that the old tree needs to be rooted out and the new tree planted. That we can have fruit to God, and it comes by the will of God and what God really wants us to be doing in our lives. I know He wants me to pray. I know He wants me to have a giving heart. I know He wants me to be faithful. I know He wants to do that. But He wants more. He wants something more than can be done by the external. I can do all those externally. He wants something done internally. He wants us to have a love of the will of God, to do the will of God. What the will of God is in our lives. Not as specifically spoken in duties, but the whole generalization of it. Do you know that it's God's will that we be upright and holy? That's His will. That He can make righteousness out of us, a new tree. So how can I do the will of God, but am I doing the will of God in my thinking? In my heart as I respond? Do I judge the will of God by the music I listen to and the things that I watch? I mean, you say anything about the externals, we say, Lord, I know He's Lord. I know people that will claim Him to be Lord, that will involve themselves in all kind of filthiness, all kind of bad behaviors, and still claim that He's Lord and have a right to do it. He's Jesus. He died on the cross. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. All of those things that don't do the will of God. Lord, help us. What category are we going to fall in? I want to tell you. I want to warn us even. Long-lasting religion can be a growth and growth in God and more, or it can stagnate us to the point that we're not really doing the will of God. And it can be a very dangerous place to get into, is to kick back and be at ease and pray my daily prayers and go to church and do my things and never really be doing the will of God in my life. Allow it to become something that isn't even important. I don't even understand it. The will of God is that I love my brethren. That's the will of God. The will of God is that I'm gentle and patient towards all men. That's the will of God that I get that in my heart and do it. It's the will of God that I have a certain love towards righteousness and hate towards evil. Not people, but evil. That I stand against those things. So He says to them, here, and says to them, there's those that will say, Lord, Lord, to me. And they mean it. Don't think they don't mean it. And don't think that they haven't seen and understood some of the things of God. They've understood many things of God. But not the will of God. Particularly for their lives. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Do you think that it's possible for someone to preach regularly, strongly, proclaiming it in passion, that don't do the will of God? I say that it's absolutely possible. You could do all of these things. Did we not prophesy in thy name? As if prophesying in thy name is a ticket to heaven. I'm a preacher, so I got it going. Not hardly. Grace will take a man to heaven without miracles. But miracles won't take him without grace. You can put anything else in there that you want to put in there. Grace will take you to heaven without notoriety, without the inspiration. I mean, the things that we look at is God working on it. Grace will take you there through troubles, through trials. Sometimes it's the will of God that we suffer. I'm not going to take time to prove it, but it's plenty provable. It's the will of God that we be patient in suffering. That we go through life saying as the providence of God allows it into our lives, that we go through it with grace. And it will take, grace will take us to heaven if God never performs a miracle in it anywhere. It's better to have grace than miracles. Oh Lord, heal somebody so I can see. Lord, give me grace that I can see. Give me grace that I can believe it without a miracle, without a sign, without a show. Give me the reality of doing your will. This is the will of God in our lives. That we have the real thing. Folks, I'm about reality. I want the real thing, the realities of it. Down in the bottom, I know by my own experience that I can do all kinds of religious things and never have the real heart about it. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? There isn't any reason for me to believe that these people that say this don't believe it. I think to say that in the end time to the Lord, I think you'd believe it. I don't think there was any fake about that or trying to say something that wasn't true. They believed that what they had done was the ticket.
That's true.
They didn't do the will of God. Because you can do all of those things and still have a love for bad stuff. You can have things in your heart and life. You can have unforgiveness in there. And you can have bitterness in there. You can have all these things in there. You can think less of your brother than you should. You can be all kind of things in your heart and still do the external things. We need to do the internal things. Lord, what is the will of God? The will of God is that we love our fellow man. Where can you go wrong with that? Where is the place where I say this isn't important? This doesn't work. I'll go on prophesying, but I don't like you. Where am I going to be able to overcome? Where is the real reality of it? He said to these people. And then I professed unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't think there'll ever be words that would shudder more to hear those words at the end. I've given a lot of time here in this earth to this. That won't get me to heaven. He plainly said to do the will of God. They did all these things. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want to look at another scripture in Acts. Oh, see. Ninth verse. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. Well, he got himself up there pretty good, I'll have to say that. I don't know even how he was doing it. I don't know. I didn't study it. I don't know what sorcery actually does or what did he done. But whatever he done, he was convincing with it. Because people said that these, from the greatest to the least one of the people in the city says, he's a great one. he's got it. That's him. And so this man, Simon, had himself up there. It says, and to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now what part of this is bad? There was a guy that was into witchcraft and sorceries, and he heard the preaching, which is what we want him to do. That's what we want to do. He was convinced of the preaching to the point that he was baptized. He believed on it. He was baptized. His brother's on his way. What more do you want? And he wondered and he looked at the miracles. He knew what he had been doing. And he couldn't do it. And he saw something real about it. Right? I mean, I'll see you see this. I mean, he saw it and he wondered at it. The great miracles of God doing, working in all these things, and surely he had it. He was baptized. He believed. He done them. I would say being baptized and believing would be the will of God, wouldn't you? I think that's what we teach. It's the will of God. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. He even continued with him, saying right there. And he wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Do you think that it's possible to believe the story of Christ? To be baptized? To change your life somewhat? I mean, in some manners, change the direction of your life? And have a bad heart? Do you believe it's possible to be a Church of God saint in good standings, having gone through all the functions of the altar of baptism, of being a faithful Sunday member, and have a bad heart? I'm just asking a question here because we're concerned about these kind of things. I'm just asking, is there a possibility that you could live a year that way? Two? Could you live 5 years under that? How about 10? Would it be possible to live 20 years in that kind of a situation? Would it be possible to be 40 or 50 years into that? I say it's all true. It's all possible for that to be there. It's as possible as what it was for this man to get a hold of the Lord like he did and believe like he did and be baptized like he did and have a bad heart the whole time. He did not get really what he should have had. He still had in there a desire to be big, a desire to have something powerful. The desires that he had before had not been conquered. He had not done the will of God. The will of God is one of humility. Is it the will of God that you and I raise up one another to be authorities over one another? Of course not. Is it the will of God that we prefer ourselves over others? Of course not. The will of God is in simplicity. We understand the will of God simply. I think it's the will of God that you go to service on Sunday. You might not want to. I think the Lord set up the Sunday service. The first Lord said, you can get it scripturally. I think it's very scriptural. All the pastors are going to agree with me that if you're in their congregation, you should go to church on Sunday. If nothing more, support them. I feel that way at home. I think everybody ought to go. And it ain't because I say, well, I have to. Well, I do have to. But I want to, too, and I think everybody ought to want to. I think I even say it's the will of God. But you can do it without doing the will of God. Because you have things in your life that's not the will of God. Simon had something in his heart that wasn't the will of God. And so he comes along and says, if you can imagine this, he missed it altogether. Did you really think that if it was possible to do that, Peter and John would be somebody that was so corrupted by money that they would have done it if they could have? No. No, you're missing it altogether. And he offered him money for it. Listen to what Peter says to Simon concerning it. Saying, give me also this power, Simon says, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pay you for it. Will you give me that? You know you don't have to pay for that, folks. You don't have to give money to get the Holy Ghost. It's God's will that you get it. But you got to go through the right way to get it. You got to do God's will to get it. It's God's will that we be sanctified. It's God's will that we have power in our lives. That's His will. It's not to buy with money. It's not corrupt. It's not like any idea of man. Lord, help us to have the right mind, the right heart, and that we would be, as the writer said, vigorous as a panther, swift as an eagle. Like a deer, run like a deer. As strong as a lion to do the will of God. That it's our purpose and desire in this life to do the will of God. Lord, am I thinking right? Is my mind right according to Your will? Is my actions right? If I sit down here and watch this that I put before my eyes, is it okay with You? Is it Your will that it be done? If I sit and involve myself in the music of this world, is that acceptable? Is it acceptable, Lord? Is it Your will? Is it Your will that I'm in a place here and I don't know exactly how to respond? Lord, what's Your will to respond? I know I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to be gentle and kind. Lord, help me to be able to respond that way. As an ambassador of the Lord. That I be able to respond as an ambassador of the Lord. Doing God's will is not just when He thunders something to you. It's an impression of our hearts that we go forth doing what God would do if He was doing it Himself. Well, I don't know that altogether, but Lord, give me the mind to be vigorous to get it. Strong, I'll chase it, that I can do the will of God in my life. How should I respond? You know, there's sometimes that you don't know whether it should be a soft word or you stick your heels in. I mean, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't know between just digging in and being stubborn about it. You're not going to move me. Or should I be, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't really know. And there's sometimes that we, as one of our songs says, meekly hold the true position. And when everything turns against us, we're just meek as we can. But we're set there too. We're not going to move. So what's going to happen to old Simon here? I want the Holy Ghost, I want to buy it. Well, maybe that don't sound as bad as it was. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Listen, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now some... Well, wait a minute. In Simon's defense, he believed on the Lord Jesus. He believed at Philip's preaching so much so that he went and was baptized. And he marveled and was on their side concerning the miracles. He wasn't a gainsayer. He was going along with the troop. He was doing a part of them. How can you possibly say this about him? Well, because it's true. You got a bad heart, Simon. You got neither lot and parcel in this. But there is something you should do. Repent. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Gave him some hope there. Still some hope, maybe, that you can have something changed about your life. That you can do the will of God. I think one of the biggest shames in any group, in any part of our people, that you live all your life and come to the end and hear the words, "I don't know you. I don't know you. You never had it right. I don't know you." All that external things never registered in heaven. None of it ever registered as doing the will of God. You never loved holiness. You know, the answer to so many of our questions and problems is just loving holiness, loving God, wanting with all our hearts to do His will. It would answer so many nitpicky questions that we have about things. Well, do I have to do that? It's a funny one. I mean, it is to me. Do I have to do that? Well, wait a minute. What are you wanting to do? Let's just get it right. Do I have to do that? Well, I don't know if you have to do that or not, but what are you wanting to do? Are you saying that you might have a chance to go a little farther for the Lord and you don't want to do it? I mean, is that the idea about it? Do I have to do that? Why isn't it, Lord, if it pleases you, I'd love to do it. I'm running hard to fulfill this will of God. I want to do the will of God in my life. If I'm going to have to put that on, I'll put it on. If I got to not go there, I won't go there. I get a chance to do it, I'll do it. You mean I got to say something for the Lord? You mean you don't want to say something for the Lord? What are you saying when you say, "Do I have to?" I said many times, I'm back through the years, my children say, "Oh, do we have to go to church?" And my answer has always been, "No, we get to." If I had to get directly to it, I'd say, "Yes, you have to." Yes, you do, you have to. But the better answer is, we get to. It's a privilege, it's an opportunity. Thank God, what do you want to do that's not that? We need to answer that question. What is it that I really want to do? Do I want to do the will of God in my life? Because when you'll have all the opportunities that life will afford on a daily basis to do the will of God in your heart, the way it's supposed to be done. Then the other things that will come in, and the Lord knows those things. He knows them. Because they're registering always with Him from a heart that's doing that. Peter knew this right off. He said, "Your heart's not right in the sight of God. I don't care what functions you had. Your heart's wrong in the sight of God." Folks, we need to get our hearts right. Keep our hearts right. Do the will of God in our lives daily as we understand the Scriptures. And we all in here know. I believe if you're old and you've been around any time, you would start defining things that you know is the will of God. And you know when you cross up that and you haven't done the will of God, you know you didn't do the will of God. And when you have things that come, but I'm open, so I'm just going to tell you. There's been times that I've been caught up in talking. Anybody else ever get caught up in talking? Now, I'm not talking about just me and my wife talking in the private. I'm talking about people. We get talking, and just now somebody will say something about somebody. We're cautious about the trouble. We say it a certain way. And you know, after talking, I can come away sometimes knowing that I didn't do the will of God. I know that wasn't the way that conversation should have went. Because if I would have been the subject of that conversation, I wouldn't have wanted it to have went that way.
And I know, and I'm telling you, we know, don't we? There's things we got to take care of in those kind of things. And say, Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive me of that kind of attitude and thing that I'm doing here. Lord, help us. This isn't a game that you get by with stuff with. It isn't a game that you can have that kind of attitude that if I push them down far enough, I can be big in my own sight. That's not the will of God. Mercy is the will of God. Looking at people in their broken condition and their need of help is the will of God for us. That we can say, help me to be the one that can reach that hand. That's the will of God. The will of God that we be in a place and that we have the Spirit of God that leads and guides us into these places. That's the will of God. The will of God is that we think in a different pattern than our human carnal nature wants to dictate it. That's not the will of God. That's anti-God. The will of God is that when we think like God's thinking, our challenge is to say, well, we can't think like God. Yes, we're supposed to have this the mind that we're Christ. We're supposed to have it too. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. To do the will of God. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it costs the flesh. All the time it costs the flesh. Sometimes it costs a lot. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. But what is the heart? Well, this is a very familiar scripture, I think, in the 26th chapter of Matthew. Our motivation really for the will of God is because we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because really, and I think we all recognize this, if you've been in a position of authority, especially a place of love, like I said before with the children, it's not a good situation to where I have to hang something over them to get them to do it. It's not fulfilling to me at all. I can make it happen, but it isn't fulfilling. It isn't what it should be in any kind of situation. I don't want my wife just to do things because I'm big enough to make her do it. I don't want the things around me. I know God don't want to just hang something over me and say, I'm going to crush you if you don't. But it's true. A love relationship with Him that makes me want to do it. I think the Apostle Paul said that the love of Christ constraineth me. Yes. His love for me has so won me. He gave so much that it so won me that it makes it impossible for me to hurt Him. I just can't hurt the Lord. I can't disappoint Him. He loved me so much. It won me so much. It's like the idea of slapping your mother. You just can't do it. She's been too good. She reared you. She brought you up. Not that I ever thought of slapping my mother, never. I'm saying, but you couldn't. It's Mom. You can't do it. You don't want... When you love somebody, you don't want to disappoint them. We want to have the will of God. I want to do what Jesus wants. I don't want to disappoint the one that loved me so much. Here in the 26th chapter of Matthew, 36th verse, I'll start. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder how it's done in heaven. Perfectly. Right? In all creation, outside of mankind, the will of God is done perfectly. Storms don't fight with Him. He tells them to go, they go. Rain don't fight with Him. The universe don't fight God. It's in total submission to God. It does what it's supposed to do. The earth spins just like it's supposed to. Things happen just the way it's supposed to. But in the heart of man, it's different. We were created with our own will. And that will that we have fights with God's will. That's the fight. I got to get rid of my will to do His will. And then someone comes along and challenges me in my life, another human being, and I'm prone to take my way, my will. I'm prone to have my will in the matter instead of God's will. God already told us how to perform. We know what God's will is. Some of it we need to define, some of it we need understanding. God can help us do it. I know we all fight with the idea if somebody smite thee on one cheek, turn to him also the other. Right. I'll just say this about that scripture. It means something. You can figure out what it means in the will of God, but it means something. It ain't in there for nothing. There's something that the Lord was trying to tell us when He said, when they do this evil to you, don't return evil back. Why? Because the evil is going to mark you. God isn't evil. So don't be evil. Don't think in those terms. Don't think in the term of they're going to destroy me and I'm going to destroy them. Think of them that they're trying to destroy me, but God will help me win them. God will help me. Maybe it won't. Maybe God has purposes in it. But it isn't my will. It's God's will. Do you think that it's possible to love someone that's persecuting you? I had a message up home. I'm not going to preach it here. I don't think so. I'll just go ahead and mention it. It was about brokenness. We're all broken from the beginning. We're all in a state of... God makes us whole. Jesus told the one man, He said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. But when I say, when someone's broken, they're going to act a certain way. They're going to be broken. You know what God's will for His people is? To be whole. And we attack brokenness with wholeness. And our purpose and design is to not make more brokenness. You say something to me and I say something back and you become more broken. I can have attitudes and ways about me that breaks people further. You know what the Lord wants us to be? An ambassador of wholeness. Fixed. We're fixed by the Lord Jesus. We don't have to think evil in the face of evil. We can actually think wholeness and reach out a hand of love in the middle of a persecution. Now, Brother Marty, it's true. That's the Lord's will, is that we be whole. God's will is that we take wholeness to brokenness, that we can win people to Christ and that they can come to wholeness. I hear so many things out there in the world of their responses, and they're responding to brokenness with more brokenness. And the more it's broken, the more it becomes broken, and more it's broken, and the more it becomes more and more and more broken. The Lord has told us in His Word, I believe, that we shouldn't mark ourselves. Piercings and tattoos and all those things are prevalent. We can look at it with disgust, but it's nothing more than being broken. It's broken people trying to function, to be somebody, to have a statement, to all those things, but they're just brokenness. And it's God's will that we be whole. And that we have a way of being able to reach the gospel to the broken. Oh, I go to church on Sunday. I preach. I'm done. I'm tickets there. I've got to go to heaven. No, I got to do the will of God.
in my life. Down to the areas, the small areas of my life. It's doing the will of God in my life. And God made a plan through Christ that we can be forgiven and empowered with a divine nature that will cause us to live in the order of God. Right? It's the will of God that we take on a divine purpose in our lives. And I'm afraid that most religious are being religious without doing the will of God in their personal life. That's the reality of it, folks. That's where the beauty comes in. That's where the blessing comes in. That's where the power comes in. That's where the approval of God is on it. When we do the will of God. You know, Jesus has defined it down. I know people don't like this, but it's true anyway. Jesus defined it down different than the way we think. There was a time that His mother and brothers come and said that, hey, your mom's out here. Your mom, remember that? Mom and your brother, they're out here. And Jesus turns around and says, who is my mother and my brothers? Wait a minute. You can't get the family down like that. We're so cookies and so crazy. There's something beyond all that. And Jesus did it. He said, they that do the will of my Father. You mean you're going to put above the natural situation here? Those that do the will of my Father. Which we call one another brothers. You know, in order for me to be a brother, I'm going to have to do the will of God. According to Jesus, if I do the will of God, then I can be in the family of God. And it isn't on the externals. It's on the internals. When I do that, then I can be a part of the family. It's from doing the will of God. The signature of who's in there and who's not. The bloodline, if you will. The one that makes it, what makes us. It isn't by show. It isn't by my sleeves being down on my wrist. It isn't by all these outward things. It's because I do the will of God. Yeah. That's what it is that marks us all. The will of God. You know what? To be honest with you, I like being in favor. But to be honest with you, if I do the will of God, y'all's opinion don't mount much. I mean, my opinion for you don't mount much if you're doing the will of God. The will of God's what it's about. But I'll tell you this, if I'm doing the will of God and you're doing the will of God, we got it going. You know what I'm saying? It can work. And it works really, really well. Well, I just want to encourage us. I'll be honest with you, I don't like religion that much. I love salvation. I love the things of God. But religion's never been impressive to me. Still not impressive. Just religion by itself, it isn't impressive. So let's make sure we don't just have religion. We know we're supposed to forgive. We know that. Jesus forgave us. It's the will of God that we do it. Lord, help us. Jesus got in a very tight place here of the duties and the things that He had done, had to do, and saw it all clearly before Him. And His prayer would be like our prayers in many situations. Let the cup pass. I don't know if I want to go through this or not. And there'll be some of those kind of things in life too. But if we ain't getting the original will of God down to where I'm in favor with God, why am I going to do these others? Jesus did the will of His Father before He got to this place. He was doing the things of His Father. And now He gets to this place and He's got this big event looming ahead of Him. And it would be natural to say, is there any other way for this to be accomplished? Nevertheless, Lord, have Your way in my life. You know that the Lord might want to call some of us to martyrdom or whatever you say, to be martyred. Could you say, thy will be done? What if God wants to use us to go through something to really touch some people's hearts? Would we say, thy will be done? Not likely if you're not just living the will of God in your life anyway. That I know I'm supposed to love my brother So I do. You know, we think about it emotionally. Every time you say love, you usually think it emotional. I got to say, I have some big emotional thought toward my brother. That ain't scriptural. Love is valuing. I value you. I don't depreciate you. I appreciate you. I lift you up in value. You're worth something. That's the basis of it. They didn't hate the land. It said they despised the land. They sat around with emotional feelings about a land. That would be silly. They didn't. They devalued the land. Esau hated his birthright. He didn't sit around and that birthright's awful. He devalued it. And he hated it. And loves the appreciation and the value. For a sake of love, my brother, means that I value to the point that I would die for you. You're that valuable. You're worth something. It isn't that we have to be emotional. It's that we do what we're supposed to do. I don't have to have big emotional feelings to forgive you. All I got to do is come to the place that I understand that I do and work with. Sometimes you got to get God to help you to get that kind of forgiveness. And clear it in my heart. It's the will of God. Lord, help us. It's the will of God that we stay pure. One scripture says that it's the will of God, even your sanctification, that you what is you abstain from fornication, from filthiness, from dirtiness. It's the will of God that you do that. Well, a little song that has it in there, a little tune, that ain't so, is it? Well, just a challenge, is it? What kind of thing? Are we hating the things that God hates? It's the will of God that we do. You pray for me that I be faithful.